Hi there, everybody, and welcome to the Nerd Dump Podcast. My name's Cody.
And I'm Cameron. And we are really good at introducing episodes.
Yep. I'm a little sluggish tonight, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been a little around the bend lately.
Yep.
Yeah.
Coming around the mountain. Here she comes.
Nice.
So. I'm shook white horses. That almost sounds racist if you really think about it.
I'm pretty sure
it sounds.
I'm fairly certain that was at least some of the intent behind it.
It was supposed to be racist?
Maybe. I mean, it is an old song. Don't tweet at us if really don't tweet us at all in regards to that song. So
yeah, that song is old, and I don't know most of the words.
No, it's all right though. So no, you've been a little sick. I've been very behind with work, so we've been a little behind on the show. We do apologize. Obviously, we're still kind of getting our bearings with this little introduction. Those of you who are still listening to us, we promise this will probably get better, maybe.
Doubtful.
Yeah, that's true. Honey's not with us either. We're not really sure where he is, what he's doing. He's been missing for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm sure he'll turn up eventually.
Right. The last thing he said is he had some scores to settle.
It's true. And he was also brandishing some very heavy weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that, you know, I've seen in this time. A lot of those guns looked futuristic.
Right. Except for that one that was made out of bones.
Right. And also there was that gun that was made out of a sword
mm-hmm.
that I think was also a shark.
Yeah. And it shot swords.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted to play with that, but
you put a hole in the wall.
Yeah. So, anyway, he'll probably be back next week.
I think he said.
2 weeks.
Maybe.
Yeah. Also, we're distracted because we have root beer floats,
yep.
And they're amazing.
Yep.
Yep. So, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by root beer floats.
Root beer floats. The drink you drink when you want to get fat.
The sad thing is that's actually very true.
Right? It's just ice cream and sugar.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Oh, but as of this recording, it is National Comic Book Day.
Happy birthday, comic books.
happy, that's where all my money goes
right.
Day. That
happy
was a terrible
bicentennial.
Sentence. Close enough.
It's a centennial, but for mm-hmm. bisexuals. Bicentennial. I don't know what a centennial is.
It's not what you described at all.
I wish it was. That'd be a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm. It might be. So.
They should name a pride parade that bicentennial. The 100th pride parade.
They're going to have to get to that many.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure they will.
Probably. I mean, assuming the world doesn't end.
We should write it in. Where do you write in suggestions to the LGBTQ plus community? Do they have a letterbox?
I'm sure they do. I don't think they want our suggestions. I don't think we should.
I think bicentennial is top notch.
Well, there are certainly worse ideas out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, National Comic Book Day.
I haven't had sugar in a while. This might be waking me up a little.
Okay, this is going to get interesting very fast,
yep.
Hopefully. Cool. So, I guess, how's your week been apart from, you know,
this
being terrible?
This week hasn't been horrible. I'm trying to think of if anything's happened. No, nothing happened. I went to a comic book store today in Lawrence. I don't remember the name of it, but it was cool.
Okay. Was it the one where it's the used game store on the bottom floor and then you go upstairs to the comic book store?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
The comics were on the bottom floor, too.
Okay. That was cool. I've never been there, then.
Yeah, I think it was closer to, like, what Vintage Stock is here in Topeka. Like, it had a lot of games, board games and
mm-hmm.
stuff. But it had a smaller section of comics.
Oh, okay.
So I guess it's more of a board game store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at a place.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of it, but you should go there.
I will definitely try to. The last time I went there was actually Free State Comic Con, which was a few weeks ago.
Right.
And then I stopped in at their, the only comic shop that I knew of, which, again, used games, movies, and stuff on one floor and then go upstairs.
Yeah, this one didn't have an upstairs.
Okay. That's cool. I'll have to check that out. Because the other comic book store that Lawrence had closed recently.
Yeah.
So
I think it was technically called a game store. Like, I don't think it was technically a comic store, but it has comics.
Okay.
So
yeah, that, I think I know which one that is.
It's like something games.
Game Nut?
Maybe. That sounds right.
Okay.
That is it. That's it. I went there.
Okay. You think maybe.
Yeah. I was trying to find a bathroom.
That's fair.
They didn't have one.
Oh.
But it was still a fun place.
I mean, they have comics, so.
Yep.
Generally, places that have comics, comic books and a bathroom, not always the best combination.
Right. Yeah, normally it's like a small closet with a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stand up and there's the sink.
Yep. And that's just the store. That's
right.
Not even the bathroom.
Yep. And then there's this guy in the corner that hands you a towel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the comic book store here, when they were at their old location, they had a fairly nice bathroom, and it had posters of monkeys. Like, I remember distinctly there was a poster of a gorilla, like, hanging out in a swimming pool.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
I didn't know they were ever at a different location.
They were, yeah. I would go into the geographical location, but I don't think our listeners care.
Gatekeepers Comics. This episode brought to you by...
Gatekeeper Hobbies.
Hobbies. They didn't give us any money.
Nope. And have nothing to do with the show other than when we used to stand outside and... talk for like an hour.
I think they let us put business cards on their counter.
That's true. They did.
So there we go.
Yep. No, they were inspiring us to create the show because we would go there and shop and hang out and then leave and stand outside for an hour, hour and a half. And then we're like, hey, we should record this.
We should just record this.
And that's the history of the Nerd Dump Podcast.
Yeah, there's your 10 cents origin.
Yep.
You owe us 10 cents.
I don't think you know origins work. But anyway.
It's 10 cent origin, so they owe us 10 cents.
Okay.
You got to pay 10 cents to get it.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, so I was the one confused.
I don't know.
Right, fair enough. So, I was going to say, my offering for this week, because I think that's what we call it when we have a recommendation or whatever that we... you have experienced recently.
Dr. Fudge McSickle.
Exactly. My offering for this week is The Good Place.
It's a good show.
It is a pretty fantastic show. I don't binge watch. I mean, if anyone has listened to the show, probably knows at this point, I really don't watch a lot of TV at all. If it's a half hour show, I can typically do it. Most things on Adult Swim or, you know, Adventure Time, stuff like that, I can do because it's very, very short. But yeah, we watched like the first two or three episodes in one night. Well, the first and second seasons.
Yep, that's all they have so far.
Right.
They haven't even come, like, it's not even on TV yet for third season.
This week, though.
Yep, this week.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be able to watch it live.
It's a really good show. I don't want to explain too much of it because it is just jam-packed with spoilers if you do.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I wouldn't really talk much about it other than it's about characters in the afterlife.
Yeah. Good cast.
Really, really good cast.
Kristen Bell.
Mm-hmm. Ted Danson. I've honestly never been a huge fan of. Like, I've never not liked him, but he's never been, like, a go-to actor for me.
Yeah.
Dude is phenomenal.
Yeah,
on the show.
This
so
is really
great.
Good. Yeah, because there's him from Cheers, but that was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he was okay in Cheers, and then he did.
Yeah.
Becker. I hated Becker.
Becker was a terrible show.
Yeah.
For many reasons, not the least of which was the fact that it took Jadzia Dax from Deep Space Nine away.
I hated Becker.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yep.
And then she even left the show.
Yeah.
Like, but anyway.
Oh, well. Screw Becker.
Yeah, terrible.
Good Place is good, though. It's a really good show.
Yep. A lot of fun. Still dealing with the first season twist, to be honest with you, which I might talk to you about after
the
show.
Maybe one of the best twists in a television show I've ever seen.
Okay.
Maybe. But yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah. So.
You guys know about it, giggle at us or something. I don't know.
Or be like, that twist I saw from a mile away, you're both idiots.
Right. I figured it out. I did.
Mm-hmm.
During that episode, maybe seconds before they said it.
Oh, nice.
But you're supposed to, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But we might save that for,
yeah,
our own little episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, about comics, which we talk about a lot on the show, and given the fact that, again, as you're listening to this, it's no longer National Comic Book Day. That was Tuesday.
Unless they wait a year.
True. True. But it could be a national something different day.
Right. Happy,
know?
National Orange Day.
I mean, I only trust it if it's international.
Oh, okay.
Like, last week was International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Right.
That happens every year.
Yeah, I didn't
either.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, but as of today, it is, in fact, still New Comic, not new. Today, actually, as of, you know, this posting, it's,
yeah,
New Comic Book Day.
Burr, burr, burr.
But we're recording on National Comic Book Day. So,
cool.
We kind of wanted to discuss our favorites. We had posted a while back asking anyone to provide us their top five comics they would recommend or,
right,
you know, want to talk about. We didn't get a whole lot of responses, but we will talk about those that we've got,
yeah,
as well as offering up our own because we think that's fun. So I guess rather than go through our five altogether, if we,
right,
wanted to trade off, so Cody, if you want to provide one of yours,
sure,
to talk about.
So, this is comic books or arcs. So, it can either be a single issue or an arc of issues or like a book. What are those? Graphic novels?
Graphic novels.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing being that it's five comics that you would five comics,
right,
or graphic novels that you would recommend to get a feel for you know, individual things. Not necessarily like your top five favorites,
yep,
but ones that you would want other people to enjoy.
Yep. So, my number five, these are not in an order of importance.
Okay.
This is something I should verify. They're,
mm-hmm,
just in order of remembrance.
Got it.
My number five is going to be a little known, it's very popular,
yeah,
Green Lantern book called Blackest Night.
Awesome.
The concept, I love the Lanterns, as do you.
Mm-hmm.
We're both big Lantern fans.
Yep.
The concept of the Lantern color spectrum has always been something I've really enjoyed. So much that I wish I could steal it, but I can't think of a good way of doing it without just straight up ripping him off.
Right.
But having all the different corps show up in that one book to fight the Black Lanterns, to fight the zombie Justice League people and stuff,
mm-hmm,
like that, that was fun. It was a fun read.
It was. And it,
yeah,
was, I mean, it was a really, it started off really dark,
yeah,
because if you're not familiar with the story, it's the introduction of the Black Lanterns, who,
yep,
are all formerly, well, they're still dead characters,
yeah,
like all of these characters who have died,
yep,
like the like Barry Allen Flash,
yep,
and the original Terra, and different ones that come back as essentially zombies. They all have Black Lantern rings,
mm-hmm,
and they can't really be killed, so they're like taking out,
right, they're killing other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good read. I own it. It's one of the few DC comics I have. Actually, I actually probably own,
mm-hmm,
more DC comics than I do Marvel comics because,
yeah,
I can get Marvel comics on my Unlimited app.
Right,
so I have to actually go out and buy DC comics.
That's fair.
Yeah. Don't stop the Marvel Unlimited app, though. Marvel, I love it.
It is pretty great.
Yeah.
But no, it's a really good. It is fun, but it is, like I said, it's dark. It's a good balance.
Yeah, yeah.
Which a lot of the Green Lantern books,
yep,
were that I, at least I've read.
I really enjoy the part in the book series. Because did it come out in one big book or did it come out as individual comics?
It was individual issues.
Yeah.
It was like a 6-issue miniseries. And,
right,
then it also, of course, they had tie-ins and crossovers.
Right.
If you read it with the Green Lantern series, it fleshed out a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because I was reading those simultaneously.
Yep. I really enjoyed the part where they started trying to They triggered the for the rings to go to Justice Leaguers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Barry Allen became a Blue Lantern, and was it
Barry or no, it was Wally.
Wally. Sorry,
yeah.
Whoever the Flash was at the time,
right?
And the Blue Lantern, Wonder Woman became a.
She was a Star Sapphire.
Yeah, Star Sapphire.
I think Guy Gardner became a Red Lantern, so he was like spitting blood,
right? Oh, that was so good. And then Scarecrow became the Yellow Lantern, if I remember right. Was it Scarecrow, or is that who I thought it should
be? No, it was Scarecrow.
Yeah,
he became Yellow Lantern, which is fear, which,
that
awesome.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
That time I drew that Wolverine as a Red Lantern, that's
mm-hmm.
what inspired that. I'm like, what would happen if lantern rings from the different cores fell
mm-hmm.
into the Marvel Universe?
Oh, right. I remember you did that. That was really good.
Yeah, so... I still need to finish that. I was doing a whole, and I kind of stopped. I started doing a Star Sapphire Rogue, because Rogue's always a very loving character, but she can't touch people.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that humorous.
Yeah, and having that, the ring, I think would probably assist with
yeah,
maybe?
Probably.
But, very cool.
That's one of my favorites.
It's really good. I would, if you haven't read that yet, definitely pick it up. It's pretty accessible. Don't read Brightest Day afterwards.
I haven't read Brightest Day, no.
It started off interesting, but it's not.
Right.
It's not great. So my number five
mm-hmm.
would be, again, in no particular order, but this would definitely be one of my top ones, the original Rocketeer series by the late, great Dave Stevens. One of, in my opinion, the best artists of our time in comics, at the very least.
Yep.
Drew some beautiful women, just drew some amazing action, really great expressions. But the Rocketeer is just so much fun. And it's a throwback to, you know, kind of the old serials of the 40s, which it takes place in the 40s. And he's not a whole lot of technology, but he discovers a rocket pack that was actually owned by commissioned by the Nazis, and he runs off with it. Well, flies off with it. So he, you know, ends up fighting Nazis to protect his girl. And
right,
it's a very classic action story, and it's just so much fun.
Right,
and it's again beautiful art. It inspired the movie from the 90s that Disney put out, which is also really good. Still holds up. And, I just love it. They've done a lot of stories since then. They haven't done a lot with the original creator because he did pass away. I want to say...
People die.
Yeah. It does. He died, like 20 years ago.
Lanterns.
True. I'm sure he was one of them.
Right.
I don't know. They've done a lot of stories since then, and they're all really good, but the original classic Rocketeer series, he did like two miniseries, are just utterly fantastic.
Yeah.
And they are actually relaunching a series. It looks almost like it might be taking place modern day.
Could be interesting.
Which I kind of hope they don't do, but
could be interesting.
You never
know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all for the creative team that's doing it, so I definitely want to check it out. But Rocketeer.
Cool. So number four.
Yep.
I think I'm going to go with one of my personal favorites. Again, they're all my personal favorites. Why would I give you one I hated?
I don't know. It's a good question.
We're flipping over to the Marvel runs. A lot of mine, I think almost all of mine from here on out, are Marvel runs.
Fair.
It's going to be Secret Invasion. I love Skrulls. I love Shapeshifters. I like it. Thinking of what my books are, I like it when good guys are bad guys for some reason. Which could be why I liked the Captain America Civil War so well and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. But if you think about it, we had Blackest Night where all the dead good guys were zombie bad guys. We have this where there's a bunch of shapeshifters pretending to be good guys and they're actually bad guys.
Yeah.
And while I do like Secret Invasion, it's not so much like the main storyline that I like in Secret Invasion. It's some of the side ones.
Okay.
Like, I'm a big fan of 3D Man has a storyline in that.
Oh my god,
that
I forgot
one.
About him.
And that's really interesting. There's a guy who is a Skrull who moved to Earth and had joined the Initiative. Because I love the Initiative storyline.
Yeah, that stuff got really good.
Yeah. There's a guy who joined the Initiative who turns out he was a Skrull, and he just defected to Earth. But when the other Skrulls came, he had to fight alongside the humans. He had a wish ring. So he had wishes that he could use. And at the end of the comic, 3D Man sees him, sees that he's a Skrull because he's 3D Man and that's his power.
Right.
Kills him.
Oh my gosh, I remember that now.
Yeah.
That was pretty heartrending.
It was. It was real sad. And like, he was doing so good. He was helping so many people. And you get a lot of stories from a lot of the minor Marvel characters you don't see a lot from in these side stories, which
yeah.
is something I like. There was a character whose name I don't remember right now, but she had the ability that every day she got a different superpower. And she didn't know what it was going to be.
Yeah.
It's just every day she'd have a different superpower. No idea what it was going to be. So she had super speed one day, and she had to do something where she was outrunning a bomb or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the time was running up, and she's like, please let it be invincibility, because the time bomb was about to go off.
Yeah.
And then it clicked, and she started levitating. She's like, crap, and then she died.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I remember that, too.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. It's a good storyline. Again, I'm not a huge – like, the main storyline's good, in my opinion. But I really like the side stuff that happened in that with the minor characters.
Yeah.
Characters like in the Initiative, the guy who could control – shapeshift into your fears, who became a psychologist named Trauma. He's a really cool guy. What was it? MVP, which was a guy who got shot during the training, and then they cloned him to make the Scarlet Spiders and sent one back to his dad. And they're like, well, he doesn't have any powers. He was just real good at sport or something like that. They've got some good stuff.
Yeah. That was
the whole Thunderbolts arc during Secret Invasion. With Penance and Osborn taking over as S.H.I.E.L.D. director afterwards because he was the big hero.
Oh, that's right. That, I was, for some reason, I was thinking that happened after, but no, that Osborn was in charge after. So then they had a new Thunderbolts. Not quite as good, but yeah, that run was fantastic.
It was real interesting. Just that whole time frame. If you can just read that whole time frame of comics, interesting.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Most of the Secret Invasion as an event book was good.
Right.
But I feel like it had a lot of build up, and the story itself, like you said, it was just okay. But a lot of the tie-ins and a lot of the stuff that they ran with
to build up to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then of course what happened after with the Dark Reign, all of
which
that
may also be on that list.
We won't get into that.
Right.
So yeah, really good stuff. The next one that I would recommend, I'm actually rereading the list when I put this together, and Rocketeer wasn't on it. I feel like it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So I might do an honorary mention.
Right.
My other one would be, Dead at 17.
That sounds familiar. I don't think I've read it, but it sounds familiar.
It's an indie book. It was, I think Viper Press put it out, and then Image ended up picking it up for the last few miniseries. It was just a miniseries by a cartoonist named Josh Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first story, the main character is murdered. And then it turns out she actually her best friend gets attacked by these zombies, and her best friend comes back and kills them.
Oh, fun.
Turns out she is one of the, I believe they're the resurrected. She's just a person who is able to basically come back, and she's one of these avatars who helps prevent the apocalypse. I'm describing it terribly, but
sounds good though.
it's just really really cool.
Right.
The art is amazing. He's definitely been an inspiration on my art. The storyline is a lot of fun. It's some parts Buffy, with a little more of an edge to it.
Okay.
It's not as lighthearted. It gets pretty dark.
Right,
It gets really dark as it goes on.
Right.
But the art...
So does Buffy, though, if you think about it.
True. Very, very true. But there's always that...
the last episode, they're cutting people in half.
True.
Main characters get cut in half in the last episode.
Yeah, I know. I still kind of miss Anya.
I do, too.
Yeah. So, but it's really good. It's you can actually get a collection of the entire series... there's also various trades. The one of the miniseries actually never got completed until it made its way to a trade. But you can find those online. They're on Comixology. If you have a library card, you can find it on Hoopla as well.
Right.
Check out part of it for free. I definitely recommend it because he's a really talented artist and writer, and I really want him to make more books.
Right.
So that's a very good way to support some local creators. Not local, but independent creators.
Yep.
But that's my other one. So, what do you got?
I most of what I have left is going to be in the Marvel Theater.
I'll have some, too. Yeah.
My next one is, like I said, Darkest Reign does appear. It's not the one I'm going to say. It is part of... Darkest Reign affects what I'm... It's Secret Warriors. Secret Warriors?
The one with Quake?
Yes.
Yeah.
I really like that. It kind of starts an invasion and goes pretty hard into Darkest Reign. Because they fight the Skrulls. Because Nick Fury basically puts together a team.
Yeah.
Because he knows the Skrulls are coming. So he goes underground, puts together a team to fight the Skrulls.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we see Quake for like the first time.
Yeah,
where we see Yo-Yo for the first time, Stonewall, a few other people, Loki, or not Loki, forgot his name, he's Ares' son.
Phobos,
yes.
Yeah, the little kid.
These are some amazing characters that they don't do enough with, in my opinion, in the comics. Quake has kind of taken on a little more responsibility in the comics recently because of the success of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, because she's on... If you've watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yep.
Skye became Daisy, who is now Quake.
Yes. Yo-Yo is also on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now. Has been for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They have Crusher Creel, Absorbing Man, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But he acts more like Stonewall. Because I don't know if you know from Secret Warriors, Stonewall is Crusher's son.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So he has similar powers to Absorbing Man, except for he can also grow and stuff. He can't do that on S.H.I.E.L.D., but his personality is closer to Stonewall than it ever was to Absorbing Man.
Okay.
Because he's kind of a good guy on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's interesting. I remember him because I watched... the last time I watched it was season 2, and he was on there for a bit. He's pretty cool.
But yeah, it's one of my favorite runs. It again has a lot to do with good guys being bad guys because at the time the Avengers, especially the time I'm thinking of, the Avengers are the Dark Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're Norman Osborn's Avengers, where Wolverine is Dakin or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
Ares is on there, but he's the regular Ares. He's just always kind of a dick.
Yeah,
Sentry is on there. Bullseye is Hawkeye, and
Miss Marvel
is Moonstone.
Yeah, because there was no Captain Marvel at the time.
Yes, but they fight the Dark Avengers a lot, as well as doing other stuff.
Okay,
which is some of my favorite stuff. They also fight Hydra a lot, it was my first introduction to all of those characters that I've mentioned, other than Nick Fury.
Sure.
It was actually my first introduction to Ares, who is actually, I again think, an underused Marvel character, because he dies in the Siege. and I've never seen him in a lot of stuff, because I think a lot of people feel that he is just discount Hercules.
I can see that.
But I prefer Ares over Hercules, personally.
Yeah, I don't know that I particularly care for either of those characters existing in the Marvel Universe, but I have seen them both handled very well.
Yes.
And I did like when he was, because prior to him joining Dark Avengers, he was on the Mighty Avengers
team. Yes, he was a regular Avenger for a while.
And then, of course, all the Avengers teams imploded and didn't exist.
Ares being the god of war just goes where the fight is, basically.
Right. So that's a cool character to have on your team.
Yeah. But there's a whole father-son thing between Ares and Phobos. Like, when the Dark Avengers fight the Secret Warriors, they kind of sit and talk a little bit and stuff, because they have this weird reincarnation thing with their pantheon, where they constantly are dying and being reincarnated, which is why, like, the Ares that we know from the Avengers didn't go, like, plow some girl, and that's where Phobos came from. They're just sons because he's his godson. Like, not like I'm your godfather or whatever.
Right.
He's a god. They're godsons, but they're in humanoid bodies or whatever.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. Phobos actually dies fighting Gorgon, which was my first introduction to that character as well, which is a really interesting Hydra villain. He's a samurai, wears a red bandana, and if he takes it off, he turns you to stone because he's Gorgon.
Okay, yeah.
Also kind of underused, I think. Marvel seems to stick to a few people a lot.
Right.
I mean, if you're not Wolverine, you don't get a comic. But,
yeah. But, I mean, he's had more comics since he's been dead.
Yeah.
Since.
But yeah, that's one of my favorite.
That's cool.
I think it's, again, the good guys are bad guys, though, because the Avengers are the bad guys.
Yeah.
But the concept of having this team of nobodies, because none of them were anybody before that. They didn't have, like, oh, well, here's a bunch of nobodies and Spider-Man's on the team or anything like that, who are pivotal in saving the world is really cool.
That's awesome. That is actually one book that I have not read.
You should.
So, yeah, I heard nothing but good things when it was coming out, but I think I was reading a lot of Dark Reign stuff, so I was picking up Avengers.
I like Dark Reign too, but
Iron Man, and actually that was coming out at the same time as Blackest Night, so that's where I'm going.
Yep.
But yeah, I've got Marvel Unlimited, so I will definitely have to check that out.
It's a good one.
So that was your number three. Yeah, my number three, is going to be another independent. I've got two independents and two Marvel, because I'm cheating and I'm going to put in a sixth. So, my other one is, that I would recommend is Scud, the Disposable Assassin.
You've told me about this.
I have told you about this a few times. Written and drawn by Rob Schrab, who you probably don't know, but he has he's done some animation. He worked on Community. He was he worked with Dan Harmon, of course, creator of Community. I think he's done some Rick and Morty.
Yep.
So, but it's a
I know him.
Okay. Well, to the
list. They might not.
So
I know everything.
No. Of course. But it's a 20 some issue series, that was told over the, I think it took him like 15, 20 years almost to get everything done.
Yeah. That's how long it takes me to make a comic.
Pretty much. I know. But it's about a robot who is in this weird futuristic society. If you need somebody killed, there are vending machines available with robots who will, buy them, and they, once they're done with their primary target, they explode. Scud discovers this because there's a label with a disclaimer on his back.
Okay.
And he reads it by accident when he's recruited to kill this monster, and he realizes, hey, once I kill this monster, I'm dead. So he has an existential crisis and ends up incapacitating the monster, doesn't kill it,
right?
But then ends up taking it to this lab and uses the money that he makes for all these other jobs to keep it alive.
Yeah.
So he's going on and doing all these missions, and since none of them were his initial primary target,
right,
he can kill, and right, he's fine as
yeah,
long as this monster stays alive. But there are other assassins he runs into. He runs around with this cybernetic mob. There's another assassin that he falls in love with.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. The art, again, is really fun. It's unlike any other comic I've ever read.
Right.
And it's definitely one that I would recommend to pretty much anybody. I've recommended it to you.
Yep.
I think
it's not a Marvel Unlimited, so I can't see it.
No. I think it is on Hoopla, and if not, I will loan you... I think I still have the trade.
Okay.
I might have traded in because I found some signed issues.
Ooh,
of original issues. So, yeah. But Scud the Disposable Assassin, Fireman Press, I think. It's a very, very independent publisher that put it out. But, and again, I think they were actually bought by Image at one point, so they put out the rest of the issues. But yeah, really, really amazing and very quirky, very weird. The monster he has to kill has like a electrical socket for a head and has these weird squid legs that talk.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, and it's a she. Her name is Jeff.
Her name is Jeff.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That sums up the book by saying her name is Jeff.
Her name is Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
Yep.
All right. Number two?
Number two.
I feel like I have more and I'm running out of spaces.
We'll do some more.
Number two, I think, is going to go towards something that kind of builds into my number one right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, not in order of importance, just ones I remembered.
True.
Number two is going to go to Avengers Academy. Avengers Academy is
mm-hmm,
a storyline. Again, I really like storylines about lesser-known Marvel characters. It's something else I'm doing.
So. Yeah, and Avengers Academy pretty much introduced a whole cadre of new ones.
We've got like Hazmat and the red guy whose name I can never remember.
Metal?
Is it Metal?
Yep.
Is that what
M-E-T-T-L-E,
it is?
M-E-T-T-L-E, but yeah, Metal.
Yeah.
I remember him because of...
My number one.
His fame, yeah. Oh, spoilers.
Right?
I know what it is.
Yep. And all those characters, they bring all these kids together and they're like, oh, you're going to be the next generation of Avengers, so we want to train you.
Mm-hmm.
But then what you find out as we go is they're not. They're the people that the Avengers think are going to be the next generation of supervillains.
Right.
So they want to try to get them off of that or at least keep them close enough that they can handle it if it goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that concept. I love the storyline. I do like some of the like, they don't do a lot of missions, per se.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of them training and bonding with each other and stuff like that. One character finds out that he's gay or admits he's gay during the comics. Which, honestly, it always kind of seems like he was faking being gay, but I'm not going to go into that.
Fair enough.
And there's, like, Hazmat and Metal get into a relationship because Hazmat's radioactive.
Mm-hmm.
She can't be around anybody without her suit, but she can be around Metal because he's Metal.
Yeah.
So he kind of looks like the child of the Red Skull.
Yeah, he's like a big, bulky guy.
Just
he's got
red and skull-faced.
Yeah, and these bright, protruding eyes.
Yeah.
He looks goofy, but...
He's really cool, though.
Like, if you can, like, name off, like, the nicest characters in a Marvel comic, I think it would be.
He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, again, I can't remember her name, but she turned out to be the daughter of Taskmaster. And Taskmaster is one of my favorite characters from Marvel, who,
mm-hmm,
again, is underused, in my opinion.
A little bit.
Where she could basically reproduce what people could do physically.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't, like, oh, I saw Cyclops, so now I can shoot lasers, but talking.
Yeah, that's all right.
But one of my favorite storylines is there's a point where future versions of themselves come back, and they're villains. So they have to defeat the villain future versions of themselves. That's a lot of fun.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Comics.
Yeah, but I really like that one. Again, I think I have a thing for... good guys kind of being the villains,
because,
mm-hmm, again, these were the main characters were going to become villains in the future.
Right.
And lesser known characters. I think that's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, because a lot of writers are given more free rein with
mm-hmm.
those kind of characters. I mean, if you take on a book like Iron Man,
right,
you're probably going to have a lot of more editorial feedback.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed if you've just got these nobody characters you can do
yeah.
whatever with.
You can't just go, oh, I guess what, Iron Man's gay now, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That doesn't work.
Nope.
You have like 40 years of him not being gay or whatever, so you can't just make him gay.
Unless he's Iceman.
Unless he's Iceman.
That's
that one I was still okay with, though.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because, like, it was young Iceman who was gay, and
mm-hmm.
then he's like, everyone's like, wait, you're gay? And then they look at old Iceman, and he's like, yeah, I guess. I thought that was hilarious.
A little bit.
In a sad, sad, you're not okay with yourself way.
Right.
But it was hilarious.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that, I think I read the first arc. I don't think I got much past that.
I've read the whole
but
thing, yeah.
It is really good.
Marvel Unlimited.
Yep. And they cross
this
over.
This episode brought to you by Marvel Unlimited.
Give us money. Give us free
right.
subscription. That'd be awesome.
Right.
And I think they cross over with the Runaways, too, at one point.
Yes.
That's because
so.
All of the young yeah. teams cross over with each other
yeah, that's
at some
something
point.
I'm going to talk about next.
Cool. All right. So my, I guess we're up to, yeah, number two recommendation would be, wait a minute, are we really all the way?
Yeah.
To,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. That would be another Marvel book. It would be Hawkeye by Matt Fraction and mostly David Aja, but there were some other artists too.
We can keep going.
Yeah. It was really, really, really good. You don't even need to know the character to... You don't even need to like the character because honestly, he's fairly unlikable. But at the same
that's
time,
kind of the point.
Yeah, like he's kind of a jerk, but
mm-hmm.
you kind of get why,
right?
And it's not no super heroics. He doesn't have the costume. I mean, he doesn't have his classic costume. At that point, he was wearing the more modern suit, which he doesn't really wear too often. But it's mostly just him, what he's doing, what he's not an Avenger, and that's even in the recap page.
Right.
This is what he does when he's not, tooling around with the
yep.
Avengers.
He's not so much a superhero when he's not an Avenger.
No, he's
yeah.
kind of a lazy
yeah.
butthole.
He's not out there stopping crime. He's not your friendly neighborhood Hawkeye.
Right. Not at all. Not at all. Except unless you are a homeless dog
yeah.
that he wants to adopt
yep.
Who likes pizza.
Yep.
Pizza Dog, I remember, was like the best character.
Yeah, best animal sidekick character ever.
Yep.
Pizza Dog.
Exactly.
Lockjaw, maybe.
Maybe Lockjaw. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the title itself, it's not Clint Barton Hawkeye, it's just Hawkeye, and it refers to Kate Bishop,
yep.
too, who I don't think she shows up till issue 2 or 3, but she's pretty much a lead character for the remainder of the run. And it's about their relationship. At one point, it does get a little, I wouldn't say romantic, but, well, they touch on that because, she's a 17-year-old girl who's hanging out with this guy. So they make those kind of jokes, but they're very clear that they don't have any feelings.
Right.
I think at one point, Kate sort of does,
right.
but she's rebuffed immediately.
That's gross, yeah.
Right. Right. And they treat it that way. So they're like, the characters are written with really good chemistry, so it comes up. But
yeah.
It's just a really, really good series. I think it was like 25, 26 issues total. You can buy an omnibus or find it on Marvel Unlimited.
Yep.
But it's just a phenomenal book. And I think I would recommend it to anyone who likes superheroes, who likes the Marvel movies, or who just likes really good, interesting character stories.
Yep.
Because you've read it, right?
Or I've read some parts of it. I haven't finished it or all of it yet, but I've read parts.
Yeah.
I keep getting distracted by whatever the big event is of the week.
That's fair. Because where you're at, there are a lot of them.
Yep.
And Hawkeye did have a very erratic schedule when it was coming out. Like, it would go months without an issue.
Right.
Which, it was still on my poll, so I made sure if it came out, I got it.
Oh, damn, I just thought of another one. Anyway, keep going.
but yeah, that was my other recommendation for, right. Well, my number two.
I'm going to save a few of mine that I've thought of recently for this other topic we might cover.
Okay.
Because they would fit into that.
Awesome.
So I'm just going to go straight into my number one. Again, not in order of importance, but I do really like this storyline. Probably the best, but maybe not the best. I like New Warriors, really. Avengers Arena. Avengers Arena, this is the one where they take the Avengers Academy kids. They take a few of the Runaways. They take some, like, minor X-Men characters. And they all get shoved into an arena by Arcade. And forced to kill each other.
Yep.
And
Battle Royale Marvel Edition.
Yes, it's really interesting. It's Marvel Hunger Games, because they're all teenagers.
Yeah.
it's really interesting. He does it because he doesn't think they'll be able to escape as easily as when he tries to do that to, like, the X-Men or the Avengers or anything like that.
Which he's done. Children. And Arcade's an idiot.
Yeah.
Or was, anyway.
Yeah. But it introduced me to a lot of characters I never heard of, and then killed them off.
Yep.
So, but there were a few that I had already heard of. I'd already read a lot of the Avengers Academy stuff at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already read Runaways, which, again, I should have put on this list, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So there were, because Chase from Runaways and Nico from Runaways were both there. Hazmat and Metal were there. Metal did not last long.
No.
Because basically he went, oh yeah, Arcade, prove it. And then, I don't know, Hazmat mouthed off to Arcade.
And
Metal
I think
stood up for her and
got
vaporized, basically.
Right.
Exploded
so,
from the inside out.
Yeah, so that's how you kill off a character.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, noble.
Yeah.
And I was sad.
I was horrifying. I loved Metal up to that point. And
yeah.
He was just gone.
Yep. And I don't think he's come back.
Yeah, I haven't seen him.
I think Hazmat.
I read a lot of comics.
Yeah, Hazmat, I think, is around in something, but.
Yeah, there's stuff that happens after this where they kind of turn. They don't turn evil so much as they don't try anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they go live with a bunch of bad guys for a long time.
Yeah, that's the Avengers Undercover. What was it, like, the sequel series for those survivors?
That one wasn't as great, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've ever actually finished it because I got real bored.
Fair.
But that introduced me to Death Locket, who is a really cool character who might be dead now. I'm not sure. I don't know where she is. It actually was one of the first times I read a comic with X-23 in it because she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Arcade released her trigger scent, and that was awesome. I didn't know she had that up until that point, too.
Oh, yeah.
Nico kind of digivolved into a stronger witch during the arena at one point. It was a lot of fun. But at the end, they...
Avengers Arena.
Right. There was a character who was like her brother. Her brother was evil, but she was also her brother. I don't remember what that was.
I remember that character, but I...
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
I can't recall either.
Yeah.
That was weird.
There was the kid with the Sentinel, and he didn't make it, if I remember right.
He did not.
Yeah,
because he was just a character from, like the Tsunami Age. Because they did, like, these manga-esque series, like Runaways.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, the lead character of this total all-ages book.
Yep.
And they murdered
him. He got murdered.
It's like, well, not doing anything else with the character.
Yep. And there was Nighthawk. And I think he got murdered.
Darkhawk. Yeah.
He got murdered, and then Chase became Darkhawk for a little bit, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So again, it's been a bit, but this was a good story. But again, I think it's because I like seeing good guys as bad guys, and I like lesser-known characters. And this was nothing but lesser-known characters.
Pretty much. I think X-23 was...
I don't think she was even that popular yet at that point.
No. She'd been on the X-Men for a little while, but that was...
Yeah.
She was very...
If anything, she took off after that. And the Runaways Runaways were always pretty well received, but I don't think a lot of people knew who they were at that point.
Right. They were popular, but at that point the book had ended.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what...
Yeah.
And it wasn't until last year that they even revived that series.
Yeah.
So might have been because of the TV show.
Could have been, probably was.
Yeah, probably.
I've been reading it. It's a little slow so far.
Yeah.
But again, I'm 6 months behind.
Sure.
So we'll see.
I like it. No, that was a good book. I never did finish it, but I read the first.
Sorry.
Oh no, it's all right. I mean, I pretty much knew because I read the first issue, and then I would check on it monthly because I would always look to see because it they were following a formula where like a character would die every issue for a while.
Yep.
So I was always just checking to see who died the next issue.
Right.
And I think I either went on Facebook or I tweeted the writer, Dennis Hopeless, local writer. I tweeted him, please do not kill Nico or Chase.
Yeah.
And then I think it was issue 6 or 7. Nico, she got better, but she did die.
She died. And then she resurrected. She digivolved, as I like to say, into a higher witch.
I like that.
First introduction to like Bloodstone. The kid who had the monster in his chest or whatever.
Yeah.
And that guy with the axe, I don't remember his name, but
I'm not sure.
I saw him too. Yeah.
Yeah. Might have been the last for a lot of those
characters. He was in the undercover one, if I remember right. But yeah. It was a good series. Good series.
Agreed.
Undercover wasn't great.
Yeah.
It was a good series. Nice. I don't know if we're gonna get to that other topic.
We'll touch on it. Yeah. I'm really torn on my number one and my number two. Well, technically it's my number six because I forgot about Rocketeer here. But if I were to recommend any book, and I've really I'm going to just cheat, frankly, because I have recommended both of these books to multiple people who have read them and loved them. The first one, which you would have heard of and probably read, is The Astonishing X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
By Joss Whedon and John Cassaday.
Right.
That is the 24 whatever issue run where they introduce Breakworld.
Mm-hmm.
They bring back Colossus and
right.
Kitty Pryde and the Bullet.
Yep.
Phenomenal storytelling.
I'm actually reading the newer Astonishing X-Men right now. I restarted because I've realized I hadn't been reading it for like a few months. It's okay.
I've heard it's good. I like the team on it.
Yeah.
But I love the team on Astonishing. You got Cyclops, Wolverine, Emma Frost, Kitty, who is very much our lead character, and Beast. And Xavier's not. I think he shows up at one point, but he's not really around.
Right. I don't think he's like as hands on with this team.
Right. Yeah. This is really Cyclops and Emma's show.
Yeah.
And it doesn't require a whole lot of, most X-Men, there's tons of continuity. This is a very accessible book. Everything that they reference, they kind of give you a good amount of detail on. All you really need to know is Jean Grey's dead, Colossus is dead.
Right.
And that's about it. Everything else is laid out for you, and it's very simplistic storytelling. Not a lot of caption, not a lot of narration. A lot of times because comics get very caption heavy.
Yeah.
And they're like, they don't just let.
Whenever I write one, I'm caption heavy as hell.
Because like a lot of the classic writers would, explain what's happening as you're seeing it.
Yeah.
Whedon and Cassaday didn't do that at all. Like there were pages, there was an entire issue that had no dialogue.
Right.
And it just told you the story in the art and it told you everything.
Yep.
And it's perfect X-Men storyline. Some of it hasn't aged quite as well, but I mean, that's comics.
That's life, yeah.
Yeah. Frankly, I think it holds up. Each arc is pretty independent.
Right.
I wouldn't start in the middle, but even if you read like issues 1 through 6 or whatever, you get pretty much a full story.
Yep.
That builds towards a bigger story. And those are the kind of story arcs that I like, where you don't have to read every single issue, but you get something out of it if you do. And it's just a really, really good story. And I think it's the best the X-Men have been written in a really long time.
Right.
Obviously, in recent years, they're doing better about it. But at the time, it was it's what I wanted out of an X-Men book.
Makes sense.
My second... Really, this is my
second
last
one.
My second number one.
My number half.
Number zero.
Right.
Is Strangers in Paradise by Terry Moore.
That one I don't.
Another independent, oddly enough. It's a story about these two women and a boy, and the boy loves one of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
The girl, one of, that girl loves the other girl.
Good.
And the other girl loves another guy who's kind of a douche, but also sort of loves the girl.
I think you've told me about
this. Yeah, I probably have.
Yeah, this seems familiar.
It's kind of a love triangle, but that's not really the focal point.
Right.
The focal point is how these characters, like, how their lives intertwine. And the main character, Kachu, she has a very, very, very dark past that catches up to her. And we see how just their lives, again, their lives intertwine and how they deal with her demons coming back.
Right.
And, it's just, it's a really sweet love story. It's, again, it's very fun. It's very character driven. And you can buy it in like an omnibus and you can find the trades. There's like a 12 issue. I think there's a 3-issue miniseries and then a 12 issue. Those are really, really good. And you can just, you don't have to keep reading past it, but if you do, you get, obviously you get a lot out of it. But they're just beautiful,
right?
Beautiful works. Half the issues, some of them are just poetry and art. Some of it is just prose. He does a lot of interesting things that you can really only do in comics. So it's a very good example of something that you could translate to another medium, but it doesn't have that same effect.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. I recommended it to my girlfriend at the time, now my wife.
Right.
I actually recommended it like within the first month of us dating. And as soon as she was done, she was like, I want the next one.
And then she married you because of it. This is how you get girls, guys.
Yep.
Take notes.
Make them read a romantic comic.
Right.
To this day, she hasn't read any of the rest of them, but she was very into them at the time. So definitely my big recommendation. And it's currently, they just relaunched it, actually, after like 15, 20 years almost. So, but those are my recommendations.
Yeah.
Or if you want to know more about me and my tastes.
Right. I want to throw out a couple honorable mentions.
Yes.
That I wish I would have brought up.
Okay.
But I didn't. Old Man Logan.
The original series or
yeah,
the current?
The original Old Man Logan. Young Avengers.
The original?
The originals, yes.
Okay.
And there's the run for All New Wolverine, which is X-23.
Yeah.
Wolverine, where she finds her clones, and we meet Honey Badger for the first time. And I love Honey Badger.
I love her too.
So
she's so great.
Those would be my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll just throw out a couple since I, again, cheated.
Right.
I would actually throw out Young Avengers as a honorable mention. Not just the first volume, but the second one as well that they did with Marvel Now.
Yeah.
Which is a mostly different team. They brought in America Chavez and.
Yeah.
Loki, Kid Loki.
Yeah.
God, that's a fun book.
I don't think they have the Marvel Now stuff on the Marvel Unlimited. I haven't seen that. I might just not have read the book hard enough.
I might check, because I know I actually bought them digitally before I got Marvel Unlimited.
Right.
So they might not be. But anyway, either one, volume one or two, and then there's the miniseries, which is good.
Yeah.
Children's Crusade.
There's Thanos is also another comic that I would. The newest.
The current series? I've heard good things.
Yeah, I really like it.
Nice.
It's fun. There's just a lot of good comics.
Too many to count, but obviously. So that's our recommendations.
Yep.
I did want to throw out one of our listeners or Twitter followers. At the Artisan Rogue threw out his top five. Number one is Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. I have read it. It's fun. It's messed up.
Oh, good.
But I loved it. Love and Rockets.
Yeah.
Also kind of messed up, but in a much more realistic way.
Okay.
I've read some. It's pretty good. The Tick.
Right.
Definitely recommend. Warlord, which I've heard good things. And Uncle Scrooge.
Uncle Scrooge.
Uncle Scrooge.
Is that could, Scrooge McDuck?
Yes.
Okay.
That could be like the very old books that
right.
kind of influenced DuckTales.
Right.
Could be the current series. Could be both. Either way, I think that's a solid list right there.
Right.
So, yeah, if you have a top five that you would like to let us know about, you can let us know on Facebook or on Twitter. We are at Nerd Dump Podcast. Even though we're obviously not going to talk about it this episode, if you want to tweet us your top five,
right.
you can do that in either way. We'll give you mention.
We'll read it.
Yeah, totally.
We'll talk about it if you've heard of them.
Yeah, you got it. At some point, we're going to have to do another book club episode.
Yep.
So we'll take recommendations. I believe we even have a couple comic reviews that we'll be
yes.
getting to this fall.
Right.
We're figuring out our schedule still. So.
Right.
And if you have anything else you would like to talk about with National Comic Book Day or just anything in general, again, at Nerd Dump Podcast.
Right.
Or find us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, and just post whatever you want to us, honestly. So, because we don't get a lot of interaction with you guys, and we would, you know, love to increase that a little bit. So, anything more that you wanted to bring up?
Nothing I can think of. I do want to talk about what we were going to use as our secondary topic if this one went short, but it didn't.
Right, which never does.
So we can do that next week.
Okay.
Which will be legacy characters.
Yes.
Yes.
Some of us, namely me, have gotten to check out the first issue of the current DC event, Heroes in Crisis, by Tom King and Clay Mann. And there's some interesting moments in that. I won't spoil anything. But
we'll talk about it next week, because by then you should
yeah.
have read it.
Right. Unless you're like me and you wait like 6 months, even...
This
yeah.
guy.
Well, yeah, you have no choice.
Right.
I do. I still delay myself.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll be talking about a little bit on Death on Comics and legacy characters.
Yep.
Where
it's good, where it's bad, our favorites.
Yeah.
Why they should have stayed dead, stuff like that.
Right. And if you have anything you want to weigh in on that, again, let us know. We'll probably put a poll up at
yeah.
some point on that. But yeah. You can also find us on iTunes and Podcast Addict. Don't know about Stitcher yet. We've been saying that for a year and a half. We haven't.
I don't know how to do it.
Nope.
Can't figure it out.
Yeah. If anybody knows how to do that, let us know, because we can't Google, apparently.
Yeah.
You can also find us individually. I am at Cameron Kiefer.
I'm at the Cody Weck.
Honey, again, not here, but he is at Viking Honey. And, yeah, that's our episode for this week.
Right, I really don't know how to sign off without Hody making that weird noise.
Right, so, yeah, that's it for this week, and have a good one. Happy National Comic Book Day, everybody. Bye! This has been a Nerd Dump production.